The message this evening is from the Gospel of John, the 19th chapter, verses 38 through 42. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the peace that is brought to us this evening fill your hearts. Amen. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, being a disciple of Jesus, but secretly for fear of the Jews, asked Pilate that he might take away the body of Jesus. And Pilate gave him permission. So he came and took the body of Jesus. And Nicodemus, who at first came to Jesus by night, also came, bringing a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 100 pounds. Then they took the body of Jesus and bound it in strips of linen with the spices, as the custom of the Jews is to bury. Now, in the place where he was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. So there they laid Jesus, because of the Jews' preparation day, for the tomb was nearby. In the name of Jesus, who was taken from a virgin's womb to be laid in a virgin tomb, dear fellow redeemed. I wonder how many of you remember the first time that you visited a cemetery. I was about 7 or 8 years old. I remember because it was not a pleasant day. It was Memorial Day. It was cold, it was windy, overcast in Minnesota. And our family went to the Hayfield Cemetery where most of my relatives were buried. And I still remember how we all brought live flowers to place on those grave sites. And I think the people who were dead could not have appreciated the love that was shown in those live flowers that were placed on their tombs. It really meant nothing to them. Many parents feel that it's best to keep the little children from the cemetery, from the gravesite, from funerals. And they feel that way because they reason that death is a fearful thing and there's no point in scaring children, young children. What good would it do them? Death is a fearful thing. So we reason by nature. Now, I can't think of anyone who has put it better than William Shakespeare did when he wrote about the fear of death. Death is a fearful thing. To die and go we know not where. To lie in cold obstruction and to rot. This sensible warm motion to become a kneaded clod and the delighted spirit to bathe in fiery floods or to reside in thrilling regions of thick-ribbed ice, to be imprisoned in the viewless winds and blowing with restless violence round about the pendant world, or to be worse than worst of those that lawless and uncertain thoughts imagine howling. 'Tis too horrible. The weariest and most loathed worldly life that age, ache, penury, and imprisonment can lay on nature is a paradise to what we fear of death. Words like that written by Shakespeare? Is it any wonder that the writer to the Hebrew Christians speaks of natural man as being in bondage all his life to the fear of death? The natural man writes such things in his ignorance of the gospel. More modern research has shown that by the time that children reach the age of 8 or 9, They know that death is inevitable. They've seen it. They may have experienced it. In some places, parents can attend classes to help their children learn how to accept the inevitability of death, to deal with it. Parents are told that they should take their children along to the cemeteries and speak freely to them about death. And we agree with that. That's why when we have a Christian funeral in this congregation, I think this is true of most of our churches in the CLC, the Christian day school children attend the funeral. That's a good thing. Bring them to the stones and the tombs so that they can become acquainted with death. But don't bring them so that they learn to accept death as a natural and inevitable thing like a cold. Death is cold. Anyone who's experienced the death of a loved one knows how cold death is. But more important than accepting that death is the coldest fact of life is the manner in which we accept death when it comes. We want our children to learn to know death as an enemy who has been made into a friend, who will bring us to our Heavenly Father and to joys without end. What we want, more important than anything, is to teach our children so that they are able to accept death when it comes with a spirit that is calm, serene, as our Lord's was when he spoke from the cross, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." To the tombs? Oh yes, but first to the tomb of Jesus. When you first hear or read these familiar words from John's account, you may say to yourself, this is really nothing new. We know what death is. Another one dies. He's prepared for burial. He's laid in a tomb. He's embalmed and so on. If it weren't for verses 41 and 42, everything in this record would seem rather regular, except for the cross. So those who are unaware of the gospel might ask, what is the point of reminding us of the inevitability of death and the ugliness of it, or of burial? We already know that. But verse 41 tells us that in the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden. And in the garden, a new tomb in which no one had yet been laid. Matthew's gospel tells us that this tomb belonged to Joseph of Arimathea, a rich man, a one who, as you saw in the text, was secretly a disciple of Jesus, but he was afraid of the Jews. No longer. He found courage at the cross. Joseph had gone to great expense, great trouble, to carve out this new tomb for himself. But now Jesus is taken to this tomb and he's laid in it, not the usual place to bury a criminal. That too, Isaiah prophesied, as you said earlier. Now, of course, the burial had to be completed before sundown, before the beginning of the Jewish Sabbath. That was the law. But remember that Isaiah 53 had announced the place of the Messiah's burial, as the prophet had witnessed the whole scene. So he speaks as if he were there 700 years later. Literally, he writes that they made his grave with the wicked. That is, that was the intention of the folks who were in charge of such things, but with the rich in his death. Because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Jesus lived out his entire earthly life from the time of his first conception in the womb until he died, completely pure and holy, innocent of any sin whatsoever. But he willingly counted himself as a criminal. He counted himself with the wicked by surrendering his body and soul for sinners like us and dying between two criminals. That is the historical fact, as the folk saw it that day. But then God himself, the Father, declared his Son to be perfectly innocent and separate from sinners. The Father caused him to be laid in a place that was separate from the graveyard of criminals. He was laid in the virgin tomb of Joseph of Arimathea. Now, this is something new. Never before had the grave received a man who was entirely without violence in his heart, completely without any deceit that ever came from his mouth. Not an evil thought. Never before had such holiness and light entered the darkness of the tomb. Never before had such incorruptible purity been shoved down the throat of death by the Almighty God. And death couldn't handle it. Death choked on this one. And death and the grave have never been the same since. Not for those who know the gospel. The Lord Jesus, through whom all things are made new, has changed the face of death forever. And I want to remind you, that was the character of his ministry, to make things new. You remember his first miracle. He changed that water into new wine, the very best wine. And then he went about changing the spotted skin of lepers. He made that skin new and healthy again. He renewed the sight of the blind and the legs of the lame. And he, who changed death forever, raised the widow's son and the daughter of Jairus and Lazarus and others. Death was never the same again, because the Prince of Life had power over it. He makes all things new for us also, and that includes death in the grave, for all of those who by faith have become new creatures. The Apostle Paul writes to the Corinthians, "If any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new." What do you suppose that includes? There's nothing exempted. Everything becomes new for those of us who are renewed by the Holy Spirit through faith in Jesus Christ. That includes those terrible enemies, death and the grave, which strike fear into the hearts of natural man. Dear children of the Heavenly Father, we may not, unless the Lord comes first, escape the net of physical death. But it can be, and it has been changed, so that we don't have to be afraid of it coming to us. We don't have to think like Will Shakespeare did. Our Savior's sacrificial death, the shedding of his own precious blood on the cross, changed the terrible image of the cross to an image of salvation, peace, comfort, and joy. And this same blood has done the same thing, the same change to death and the grave. Through baptism and faith, Christ has joined our death to his own, our burial to his own, and his new life to our new life. So to the tombs, for sure. But first to the tomb of Jesus. Amen. O Lord, teach us to live that we may dread the grave as little as our bed. Teach us to die, so that we may rise glorious on that awesome day. Amen.